You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
You're listening to Muses and Stuff. This is the podcast that's all about the dolls. They were the groupies, the wives, the girlfriends, and the muses who played such a huge role in rock and roll history by simply being themselves.
They were sweet, sexy, brave, and powerful. They went after what and who they wanted, and they made no apologies.
We are your hosts, Shanti and Lynx.
Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Hey there, this is Christian Swain from the Rock and Roll Archaeology Project. Rock and Roll Archaeology? What's that you say? We are a podcast network dedicated to digging deep into the amazing music that exploded out of the second half of the 20th century. We believe the music, culture, and technology wove together, and it is an important story of history as, say, the Italian Renaissance or the Impressionists of Paris. We have 6 shows, all with a different side of this incredible time. Rock Talk with myself and host Peter Ferrioli. Real Rock, and that's R-E-E-L, hosted by Andy King. Vinyl Snob with the legendary Dave Whitaker. Rock and Roll Librarian with the headmistress herself, Shelley Sorensen. Deeper Digs in Rock, where I interview famous rock and roll personalities and the people who scribed the times and events. And finally, our full telling of the history of rock and roll, the Rock and Roll Archaeology Podcast, which started it all. Find us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. So let's get back to Between the Sheets of Rock and Roll with Shanti and Lynx and Muses and Stuff.
Hello, you rock and roll trolleys.
Hello.
And Lynxy.
This week's been really fun. I missed doing interviews with people.
It was fun.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed us just doing our episodes lately, but it was nice to have someone come in and chat a little bit.
That's right. Yeah. So this episode is going to be a couple of different interviews, beginning with Alex Vissia of the band Vissia.
Yeah, you got to see them at Indie Week. Unfortunately, I had to work that night, but I have been listening to her album, Placeholder, and it's really awesome. I imagine the show was great.
The show was fantastic, and actually it wasn't a part of Indie Week. She just happened to be here promoting the new album at that time, and it was funny because a lot of the times when you're in a venue when in a city like Toronto and you have something like that going on, there's tons of people at all different kinds of shows, and hers, you might have thought that, well, there's so many people going out to different shows.
Yeah.
It was packed. It was awesome. A packed house, and everybody was just really enjoying themselves. It was fantastic.
That's great. Hopefully she'll be coming around again and I can join in next time.
I hope so. So not only did Vissia just release a new album, which they're on tour promoting right now, but we also speak to Alex about her record label that she just started called Hurry Hard Records.
Yeah, she's on the business side now. She's just not just a recording artist. She's taking control, and it's nice to see women going out there and getting what they want.
Yeah, she really does everything. So, but we won't give it away because we talk all about it in the interview coming up. Yes. So enjoy, and please be sure to go find her online.
Yeah, she's Vissia wonderful. Music. It was really great hanging out with her, and love her album.
We are sitting here with Alex Vissia, all the way here from Edmonton. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm noticing that you and Lynx are wearing very similar shirts.
Big fan of the ball tee style.
Yeah. So, Lynx, you have a blondie shirt on. Yeah, I guess it's like baseball tee shirt.
Yeah, that's what I would call it, like a baseball. Yeah.
Baseball kind of style, yeah, t-shirt.
And who are the Denim Daddies?
That's my friend's band from Edmonton, actually, and they play country music, and they write their own, and it's, like, real country type stuff. They're a lot of fun. And also, their bass player plays in my band at home, too, so.
That's nice. That's what I remember most about living in Alberta, just lots of denim.
Yeah.
Lots of denim.
There's lots of denim.
I am not wearing a band t-shirt, but I am wearing the same turtleneck that I've been wearing for 2 weeks.
It's getting cold.
Yeah.
No one can blame you.
But I'm, like, I mixed it up a little bit today to give it like a bit of a 70s vibe. I'm not wearing a bra.
Wow. There you go.
Perfect.
I think so. So we got hooked up with Alex through Agnes DeMarco, which I think is a nice little meet cute.
Yes, Agnes is the best. And any recommendations she has, we were like, really? Like, let's check it out.
Sweet.
She's one of those amazing women that likes to bring people together. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times when we talk about the women on our podcasts, like when we do episodes about them, a lot of the times they were like setting up people meeting, which then changed courses of people's careers, which is nice. I mean,
especially when it's women, you know, championing other women, getting everyone connected. So, yeah,
totally.
This is special.
So you were on a guest on Agnes's podcast called Agnes and Sandra's Three-Way.
Yeah.
best name ever.
Yeah.
Cool. So anyways, I'm glad that we met. I got to see you at the Burdock on Friday night in Toronto, and it was such a pleasant surprise. Like, I knew that it was going to be good, but not only were you and your band amazing, but David Newberry, who opened up, was awesome. Mm-hmm. I remember him from around Peterborough days. I think he lived there or his sister lived there for a little while.
Okay.
But the opening act blew me away. And then when you and your band got up to do your thing, I was just... Like, if I wasn't already a fan, I was hooked with your live show. So congratulations. You guys are amazing.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So I guess the first question we'll start off with is, tell me about your guitars.
My guitars?
Because they're nice.
Thanks. Well, the one guitar I actually played at the show, I can't take credit for because it's not mine, unfortunately. But my guitar is a Gretsch Tennessee Rose. And then I also have an acoustic guitar that I just don't play live as much, but I have a Martin D28 as well. And then I have a little tiny travel baby Taylor guitar. So I have three pretty, you know, I don't know, minimal, I guess. I haven't collected enough yet, but maybe someday we'll see.
Do you have like a dream guitar?
I don't know. I feel like I would have to be like in the store, like just trying them out, and then I would find my dream guitar. I don't know if I have... Like, there are a couple different ones that are pretty standard, I think, for, like, rock and roll and kind of country that, like, I'd like to own a Fender Telecaster someday, I think. And also Fender Jaguars are pretty cool, too, so.
It's funny. I just recently reread Harry Potter for, like, the first time since
oh, sweet.
My childhood. And when you were talking about like going into the store, I was just like picturing you like the wand scene where like, you know, your wind flies.
Perfect.
The wind all over your hair and you're like, this is the one.
Yeah.
You were meant to be.
Matt, I wish that was how it actually happens. I guess inside your soul, if it's the right guitar, it happens.
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely pictured that as like a video or something like Alex finds a guitar.
Like music video idea. I'm going to put that in my brain, you know, save it for later.
That's perfect, yeah.
I'm going to dress up like a, you know, a wizard or a witch or something.
Do it. First rock and roll wizard. Mm-hmm. All right. So your first band comprised of you and your two sisters. So I imagine that means you grew up in a pretty musical household. And I was wondering what kind of music were you listening to and how did your passion for music develop?
Yeah, I grew up with a lot of music in the house. My mom always had lots of music going on and neither of my parents are really musical, but they appreciate music. So I remember everything in the house from, well, I mean, obviously Disney sing-along cassettes were huge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I had those and the little song books that came along with
totally.
It.
So I remember like The Lion King quite vividly as being a huge one and probably like The Little Mermaid. Also like The Wizard of Oz, like Somewhere Over the Rainbow is pretty big, different musicals that way. But then also, my parents like to listen to a bit older music. I remember a lot of Neil Diamond playing in the house. My dad liked Supertramp quite a bit and then country music is in there. And then my mom really likes, kind of music from the '60s, like Mamas and the Papas. And then like kind of from the '50s as well, like with lots of those like kind of backup harmonies and things like that. And when I was five, my parents put me in piano lessons. So that was my first musical instrument. And that was kind of my first little introduction into playing music. And I actually stuck with it, for surprisingly. I know a lot of kids go into piano lessons and, you know, might stick it out for a few years. And then they're like, mom and dad, I'm not going to do it. But I enjoyed it. So I took classical piano for a number of years. But with my sisters, we started out singing in church choir, actually.
Oh.
So that's where kind of like singing together came together. Mm-hmm. And there was a family in our church that had probably like six or seven kids. And so the daughters like ran the youth choir. So there was always like, oh, now there's harmonies and we're learning harmonies. And then a lady at our church was a voice teacher. So she kind of reached out and said, hey, like maybe you guys would want to take some voice lessons to kind of check it out. I think you have some potential. And so, yeah, I just kind of kept snowballing from there. And then playing at local seniors' homes really was our first gigs
so nice.
As little kids. When I was like 11, probably, I think, when we started doing that. And yeah, eventually just like one thing led to another and then did, you know, little singing competitions and things like that. Just things that are accessible natural. To kids.
Yeah, very natural progression.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then eventually just got into writing my own songs. Just, I guess, I don't even remember why I started writing songs, but I just remember always doing it. So a way for my little child heart to deal with things, I guess.
That's great.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if I told you this, Lynx, but Alex's sister is one of her backup singers.
Oh, no.
And I don't even know if I told you this, but she has, at the show in Toronto, there were two backup singers. And it was so nice to see that. It was so refreshing. And you guys sounded so good together. And it just made everything so rounded and...
It's true. You don't often see backup singers at, like, you know, just random rock and roll shows anymore. But mm-hmm. they really do add, like, a next level to the music.
And they looked like they were having fun and they were dancing. For sure. And it was just awesome.
Yeah.
So you come from Stony Plains, all right?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're still based in Edmonton. Now, I know you and I talked about what it's like to come from a small town mm-hmm. and what it's like to visit your small town. But it seems like your roots are important to you. And how much does that play into your music and in your career?
Well, I think I've always
felt... Would you move to Toronto?
I think I've always been really fortunate to have really supportive parents. I think that's really key when you're a young person trying to do music or trying to, you know, pursue an art form. because I know I went to school with a lot of people whose parents didn't really take them seriously and thought, okay, well, you're going to try this and then, you know, you're going to go become a teacher or something, or go, I don't know, become a nurse or just do something where they don't feel that it's a legitimate
path. But what are you really going to do?
It seems so far-fetched. Yeah. If you don't grow up in a big city and you come from a small town, then it seems so far-fetched, and that you would have to, like, just really go off and... Yeah. You're kind of nuts for doing that.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, in Stony Plain, we had a lot of opportunities within the community too. And so I think we were lucky that way as well, just having different opportunities. There's different little festivals that happen, things like that. And then I think in terms of like my roots in my music now, I think that they're still there for sure. Just growing up doing a lot of country music, and that's kind of, you know, shaped, I think, who I am as a songwriter in a lot of ways. Like, I really focus on lyrical content. And yeah, it's just, there's certain elements I think that kind of show through, as I kind of go forward. So, yeah.
It shows also the importance of, community arts and, you know, people banding together and bringing festivals and things like that to smaller communities and making sure that's, you know, a big part of growing up, and so that the children see that.
Yeah. And I mean, like, Stony Plain was like small town, but not super small town. So I think that was also kind of, you know, I think it might be easier if it's not as small. But at the same time, I mean, there are some really small communities that have really vibrant art scenes going on, and just like, it's just if people are appreciating it and trying to cultivate it, I think. But yeah.
So a lot of your songs, they're very heartfelt and they feel quite personal. Do you mostly use from your own life as inspiration, or do you look elsewhere for your material?
It's a very personal question, Lynx.
It is.
They definitely are rooted in personal experiences. I think as I'm going forward now as a songwriter and with this new album, there's a lot of this in it, but just kind of like drawing from other people's experiences too, or not drawing from it, but just being an observer, kind of like being the fly on the wall kind of thing. And then it's just my own interpretation of events, really. But I think, you know, if you have people in your life that are going through their own things, you're going to start kind of developing your own stories around them in a way. At least that's what I've been doing. So some of the songs are like super personal, like very directly related to me. And then some might have started that way, but then totally developed into something that isn't as, I don't know. Yeah. Isn't as much me.
Directly. Yeah.
Okay. So a muse doesn't always have to be a lover. They can be a friend, family member, or even a pet. Have you ever gotten inspiration out of a surprising source? Have you ever written a song about your dog?
You know, I haven't. I did have a dog, though, for a while, and maybe I owe her a song. Not something from that, but I have a couple. I have a couple songs. Okay, two out of all time that I wrote that weren't about relationships. And one of them is on the new album called Make Her Stay. And it's more about like the place you come from. So for me, it's Alberta. So that's where a lot of the references in the song come from. And I sort of decided to personify Alberta as being more of a person, I guess.
Cool.
So when I say she, it's talking the province. But yeah, just kind of, I think I've always had a bit of a nostalgic lean in general in life, like enjoyed like looking back on things. And I think I'm starting to outgrow that a little bit as I get older. But I've always lived in the same place, more or less. So I think that's where that strong connection comes from. So like with that song, yeah, it's not about a person, but it could totally be interpreted as that. Like I've had people, you know, write about like, oh yeah, and then there's this song about, you know, a lover or whatever. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And that's totally fine. Like I'm totally cool with someone, you know, deriving their own meaning from the song. So
yeah, it's really cool that, you know, every song means something different to every person who listens to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
Definitely.
All right. So you recently launched your new label, Hurry Hard Records. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to not only be a recording artist, but to also build your own label as well?
Well, as like as an independent artist, you're more or less operating as a label. So you're already doing all the things a label does. And so like a big catalyst for the label happening now is definitely to do with the fact that I received some grant funding for this album.
Nice.
So that's hugely helpful. And so it just seemed like the right moment where it's like, okay, I have this kind of little financial backing I can use, and I can, you know, try to do things better than I did last time with my other two releases. And that's a lot to do with just, you know, being able to hire publicists, for example, and like, you know, different costs with like advertising and merchandise and things like that. And then, yeah, having this new record and just having like the right amount of time, being able to develop a timeline properly, it just seemed like the right moment to kind of seize it and do it. So it's still in the, you know, baby stages of being a business, and we're working on it. My partner, Nick Davies, and I own it. And
is he the drummer in your band?
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. He's the drummer too.
He's cute. Mm-hmm. You got actually a lot of cuties in your band.
Band of cuties, I know.
Is your guitar player single? I'm asking for a friend.
No, he's not. Actually, nobody in the band is.
You have to lie and say that everybody's single, because I think that's what they used to do back in the day, right? Yeah, yeah, the Beatles are definitely all single.
It's so true. Pretty much every episode we do on like an older, it's like, yeah, it was a secret for a while because I wasn't allowed to exist.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Where was I going? I forget.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Your partner.
We got the label. Hurry Hard, yeah.
Where did that name come from?
Well, it's a curling reference. For curling, and then being from small town Alberta and from the prairies, I mean, I think curling's across the country, I think, but I don't know.
It's more prevalent out there.
Yeah, sure. I think so, right? Yeah. So we just wanted to pick a name that was very Canadian, mm-hmm. That way, and then also if someone didn't know curling or doesn't know that term, it's just, you know.
It's still cool.
It can still work.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it can mean a lot of things. I like that. You're smart and beautiful. And super talented, because like you even do your own album art, right? Like yeah. You were telling me that.
Yeah, I do the layout and design and the artwork. I mean, I have friends that,
hello,
you know, my friend Emily Bashinsky, who co-produced and engineered the album, did like my photos for the album. So her and I've worked a lot collaboratively on this project. And then, yeah, so just like the whole kind of concept with the artwork I did myself, and I do artwork for other people too, for different bands and artists. So, I think it's just like a nice way to kind of add even more to kind of the body of work that you're trying to put out there. So it's coming straight from me, I guess. So I feel like I can, yeah, just kind of like add to the experience that way, and
like a little piece of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you have released a couple of records before. You just had your album launch in Toronto. You have this record label. You're touring. What have been some challenges and what have been some of your successes, however you define that?
I think that's something I still am working on in general, because I don't know, the word success is such an arbitrary term, mm-hmm. and it can be a lot of things. And I think just no matter like what you're trying to pursue in life, for me anyway, it's just making sure that it's meaningful to me, but also other people that I'm working with, I guess. And so I've had my own struggles as a musician just with, you know, feeling like what I'm doing is worthwhile sometimes. And I think every artist probably goes through that in some way. And it's like, well, I guess, like, I try to remind myself, like, the point of the work is the work, because the point of writing songs is writing songs. But it's also, it's interesting when, you know, you find like, oh, people connect with the songs, but then you don't want to kind of go too far that way where you're not like trying to write for other people, but it's just like a really, really lovely like byproduct, I find, when people kind of let you know that what you're doing has meaning for them too. So I think a lot of the challenges are more internal. And then, you know, you have these successes where, you know, you have a great show in another city that you don't even live. And that's really cool.
When you guys all came off the stage and hugged each other, it was so nice.
We
got an encore.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Oh, man. It was awesome.
Yeah. So, and also just being in the music industry can just feel really intimidating a lot of the time because it's such like an oversaturated industry. And there's so many people trying to do exactly the same things. In different ways, of course. That's the other challenge, is that there isn't like a direct, here's point A, B, C, and D, and then you will get to E. It's like completely your own map, and you're making it up as you go. And things change often, and you have to just adapt to situations. So I just try to be really flexible, try to, you know, embrace challenges instead of getting super stressed out about them. But inevitably, I do get stressed out. But I went for a great walk today outside for a couple hours, and that was awesome. So I need to do that more often.
Yeah, it's important to enjoy the little successes.
And yeah.
Yeah, and we were having this conversation when you were over last week over a glass of turmeric milk.
Yeah.
That if you can't enjoy those in-between moments and find the real happiness in the in-between parts and in the little things, that when you do hit your big things on your list, then, you know, it's like it means even more if you can really appreciate the little steps from mm-hmm. there and find the little happinesses too, instead of just saying this is my one goal and once I hit that then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Right? But finding the little things. And I find this year too, like, I've had so much more empathy for artists and people who are like having flexible schedules and having to add things here and there, because I've been a 9-to-5er my whole life in terms of like going to school and then immediately going to more school and then working in schools. Yeah. That now that I've given that a break, it's like there is a whole other level of stress of having like an alternative schedule than other people. And then you start to question
chaos.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Am I really adulting if I'm like not at work at Monday at 1 o'clock?
Exactly. Yeah. Or if you don't wake up at a certain like 8 a.m it's like, am I wasting my time, or is this, it's like, yeah, time management is definitely
huge.
Yeah,
organization, time management. Yeah. It's like the two things that I continue to work on.
And when you're not like forced to keep a schedule on that and you have to kind of make your own, it definitely, it's harder than it seems.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So we haven't really talked about your new album yet. Tell us all about that.
It's so good.
It is. Thanks. It is so good.
Well, it's been a long time coming, or at least it feels like it, because the last thing I put out was 4 years ago. So all the songs have been written over the course of the 4 years. Sometimes I write a lot. Sometimes I don't write as much. Just because so many different things can get in the way when you're an independent musician trying to make a living and, or at least pay rent and just kind of keep the ball rolling. So the thing with all the songs though is I think there's kind of still a common thread, because I tend to write about a lot about like relationships between people and more kind of like those like close-up moments and kind of those subtle nuances that happen in relationships. And there's a lot to do, I think, with like miscommunication between people, writing about that and just like how hard it can be to say exactly what you're feeling to somebody. And I think that just stems from like my own struggles with doing that very well in life, like just communicating what you're feeling and what you're thinking and just being really open with people instead of just kind of like harboring it all to yourself, and because that just leads to really messy situations. So the whole feel of the album kind of follows that. And there's a lot of full band stuff on this album. There's lots of backup vocals. I think overall it just has a really like warm feeling to it, warm sound.
Yeah, I agree.
And kind of walks that line between like folk and rock. So it's kind of in between, not anything super heavy in terms of rock, but there's a couple more gritty numbers that I enjoy playing. And but then there's room for more space too, which I really like. And I think that's the beauty of being a solo artist too. It's kind of like you just go wherever you want to go.
And it's called Placeholder.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the title. It's really interesting.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I kind of look at songs as being like a Polaroid sort of, I guess. Like each one's just like a snapshot in time. Mm-hmm. So I always think of songs as being a placeholder for that moment, or, you know, for a certain emotion or a certain experience that I had or someone else had. So that's why I decided to call it Placeholder. And I think the fact that, you know, all the songs are written over a period of time of 4 years, it's kind of made sense to me anyway. So
that's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Each song is a little piece of time.
Yeah. Cool. A little moment.
I was just thinking that I forgot to take the poster at the Burdock.
Oh.
There is a beautiful poster of you that was just like outside of the venue, and I'm just crinkling up my nose because I feel like I'm going to sneeze. No, I got it. I'm good. but it, yeah, like the picture from that from that show was so awesome, and I'm just, I'm obviously just, what do they call it these days? Fangirling out. It's called being a groupie, okay? So, like, God. So, yeah. No, I'm just, I'm a big fan. And I'm really happy that I got to see you play.
Thanks for coming.
And, yeah, that we got to meet and everything. Mm-hmm. So, you're on tour until the 30th, you said, right? So, like, that's another couple of weeks. How mm-hmm. are you? Because I've traveled for 2 months at a time before, but mostly I've just stayed in one place or stayed in one place for a week at a time, and that's like hard enough. So how are you doing with being on the road and moving around so much, and what are you doing to keep besides your walks, I guess?
Yeah,
going for walks is good.
I ought to do that more. I was looking at the step counter on my phone and I was like, there have been some very stationary days. Because when you're riding in a car to the venue or like, you know, to a different city and back again.
It's late nights. Oh, yeah, my God.
It can be late nights. Well, and it gets dark so quickly right now this time of year, too. So it's not like, you know, you get home from a gig and it's summertime and you're like, okay, let's go, like, do whatever, do something. But, I mean, for portions of this tour, I've been able to stay in one place, so which has been really nice. So a lot of my time I've been in Toronto, or the Toronto area, and a lot of the shows haven't been super far away. So what we've been doing is just kind of doing the day trips where we're just, okay, go play the gig, drive home afterwards. Okay, go play a gig, drive home afterwards. And that way, too, people can, like the people in my band can kind of like have their day times the next day, too, because we don't have to leave super early and people can sleep in their own beds, which is really nice. Because I definitely value having like a home base. And so I've been staying with my sister, Alicia, while we've been in Toronto, which has been excellent because it's just like nice to have like a comfortable space. Like we're really close, so it feels really comfortable and I don't have to feel like I'm in anyone's way necessarily. So thanks, Alicia and James.
Yeah, you're already like home with family even though you're not home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I mean now we're going to go on kind of like a handful of dates here where we are in a different city for a few days.
And province.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Halifax.
Yeah, going to Halifax, going to Quebec.
Stomping grounds.
Yeah, and when we go to Halifax, Nick and I are there as a duo, and the others are going to drive back to Toronto from Montreal. So we're going to be in Halifax for a whole week, which will be kind of nice because just to kind of get a chance to immerse ourselves a little bit mm-hmm. in Halifax.
Do you have favorite cities in Canada that you always are excited about playing?
I definitely have a couple favorite spots. I really love Vancouver Island. The West Coast is really, really awesome.
I've never been past Edmonton, and I was 11.
You must.
I know.
You must.
No excuses. This is ridiculous.
You have to go to BC and...
I'm going to go visit Agnes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go to BC.
Yeah, you should do that. Because Vancouver Island's amazing. And Long Beach and Tofino is one spot I've only been to a few times, but it's always amazing because I've never lived by the ocean, and every time I go to the ocean, I just want to stay there. So so that's one spot. And then I really love going to Montreal a lot, so I'm excited to go there for a few days coming up rather soon. And then last time I was through Nova Scotia, I was driving with my friend Lindsay Walker. We were on a tour together, and it was like the warm season, which was amazing because for some reason I always end up touring in the winter because most of the year is winter, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm still discovering places, though, and I haven't toured enough, I think, to form really sound opinions about cities. And it's really, I mean, it all comes down to the people that you know. So, like, no matter where you go, you're going to, if you meet really awesome people, it's going to be awesome.
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 Yes. And everything about you is awesome. Everything is awesome. So grateful to be here, everybody. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm really happy. I hope that, I can't wait to just watch how everything goes with the album. And I think we're going to be hearing and seeing a lot more of you. Not only us, but us, but lots of people are going to be hearing and seeing more from you because you're just too talented.
And yes, do you have a website, things where people can find out these extra tour dates and check out your album?
Definitely. So if people go to visiamusic.com, I have all my tour dates up there. I have links to my different social media things if people prefer, you know, to follow me on Instagram instead or something like that, or Facebook. I do have a mailing list where I'll send out an email once in a while, which I've been kind of trying to invite people to do more often because, I don't know, let's face it, like social media can be so frustrating sometimes and just like too much stimulation.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to have to do that work and go find out things, I will just send you a little email, be like, hey, here's what's up. Bands in Town and Songkick too are the two places that I post my shows, so those are good ones to follow. And then that site will just send you a little email if I'm around.
Perfect. We'll put the link up for sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, and good luck with the rest of your tour.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. We just had an awesome interview.
That's right.
Yeah. It's Indie Week here in Toronto, and we got to interview Forest.
So they are a duo.
Yes.
Made up of Holly and Matt.
And they're both so lovely. And
they both have great hair.
Oh, yeah, they do, right?
Great jackets.
Great manes.
Great manes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're playing two shows in November. By the time this episode airs.
Yeah, one will be over.
But they'll still have one to go.
And that's they were lovely. They came over. They have a show tonight. They gave us some of their time beforehand. And their next one is on the 17th.
Yeah.
At the Rivoli, I think they said?
Yeah, that's right.
That's
so,
a good venue.
Forest, and that's spelled F-X-R-R-V-S-T. And if you're like, why? Well, they will explain that in the episode. So, yeah, we asked them what the significance of that spelling of the name is. And also, it's pretty cool because being named Forest and Holly's last name being Forest, they just so happen to be a really unique band because they are environmental activists.
Yeah, which is so awesome. And they definitely gave us a lot to think about. And yeah, it's just so great to be able to support bands who, you know, support
good causes.
Exactly, exactly.
Mama Earth. Yeah, and it was one of those instances too where the microphones went off and we kept chatting. And then afterwards, Lynx and I were like, we wish we would have had that too.
Yeah, we got to chat with them a little extra, and yeah, we had a great conversation. They're both great people.
Mm-hmm. So definitely, definitely check them out. Wait, did I mention that they've recently been nominated for a 2017 Toronto Independent Music Awards for Best Indie?
Why, no, you didn't.
Okay. Well, there, well, you, there go. You go. So yeah, definitely check them out on YouTube, and we will link up all of their stuff in the show notes. But again, check them out. Forest, spelt FXRRVST.
Here goes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Muses and Stuff. This is a nice one. We haven't done a band interview in a while. We've been doing a lot of episodes about our ladies, but it's Indie Week in Toronto right now. So we're talking to a couple of bands, and the people that we have in front of us are in a band called Forest. So welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here. Holly, you're originally from Australia.
Yep.
And lived in Indonesia before coming to Toronto and meeting Matt. Were you both actively searching for a musical partner, or did that happen naturally?
The way we met happened, like, coincidentally, so naturally, but I think we're both into music, and I didn't want to do it solo. I like working with people, so I was looking for someone to collaborate with. But I don't think Matt was.
I should hold this. Yeah, I was doing schooling for music. I just dropped out of jazz music for guitar at York, and I was going into Seneca for songwriting. So I was kind of in it for myself, and I was writing my own songs or whatever. But I'm not very good at writing lyrics at all. I'm not a very word person. So when she came, we had a mutual friend, and he was like, "Hey, you both do music, and you should, you know, talk to each other and jam out." So I'm like, okay, whatever, sure, that's how it works, I guess. And then, I think it was like the second day that she arrived, we actually met in person and we tried playing, and it was pretty bad.
Oh,
it was pretty bad. We hated each other's music. So, like, Holly likes more of the harder stuff and like punky stuff and alternative stuff. And I like alternative and indie stuff too, but I've lean towards folk a bit more. So in my head it was like, "Man, your songs are like no," and she's like, "No, your songs are no," and I was like, "Okay, well." But I think you're just kind of looking for someone to start something with, so then eventually it just kind of meshed.
So how did you come to combine the sounds to make Forest?
It was, we ended the band quite a few times in the first 2 weeks, but we ended up just, what's it called, compromising, because we didn't want to wait anymore. We wanted to start our music career, and it was like, okay, I guess I like that part of that song, and I guess you're not too bad at this. And then we just started liking what we were writing, and so it's like no surprise that we don't like a lot of our earlier songs we wrote, because there was so much, like, pulling, like, I guess we'll go with this, and these newer songs, and the last couple from the album, we really love, because we loved writing it the whole way through.
We figured out how to write it together, and yeah, more fun this way.
Yeah,
awesome. So since your styles are so different, I imagine you might have had different musical interests, influences growing up. What do you think were your biggest?
My biggest is definitely probably Paramore. That was my first, like, big, like, I love music and I love this band and everything about them, and from them I discovered almost every other artist that I love, and from them I discovered Tegan and Sarah, who is, like, now tied with Paramore, and I love them and their music and their lyrics, and that's probably most of my influence.
Were you at the Paramore show recently?
No.
It was so good. It was, like, my first introduction to them, actually, like, live. They were great.
We were at the Indie Awards.
Oh, well, that's a great excuse.
Yeah, we were both really sick, and we are anxious around people, so we stood in the back, and we didn't win, and that was fine, because we're friends with the people who did win, but, like, I would have much rather been at the Paramore concert.
So, yeah, Matt, tell us what your influences were.
I never had to really think about this till we started playing. I think subconsciously it'd be Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Fleetwood Mac so much. But I was never I've never been a person who kind of like, I hate saying the word stalks a band, but like online does all like the homework on them. So I just kind of just listen to the music and that's pretty much it. But just like our producer, he kind of was like, oh, you like Fleetwood Mac? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, this guy, Lindsey Buckingham, such a great player. And I was like, who's that? And then he's like, don't you like Fleetwood Mac? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, that's the guitar player? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I like the band.
Lindsey Buckingham, who's she?
Yeah, well, yeah, that was actually my first thought. And then I actually ended up doing my research because then after I realized who he was, I was like, wow, he's a crazy good player and I might want to do some homework. So I fell back in love with them recently again.
Have you seen his solo music video for the song Trouble?
No.
It's the best. Oh. It's the, I think, most unintentionally funny video I've ever seen in my life. And there's a point in the song, it might be like at the 1:42 mark, where he just bites his lower lip and goes,
yeah.
It's the best.
No, I gotta look that up now. Yeah, I've kind of put the Fleetwood Mac little worm in her brain too, because now we just went on a huge spree and just got the whole discography and everything. And
there's much more to Fleetwood Mac than just rumors.
Yeah, exactly. You never even realize until like you kind of just listen to everything and then you're like, hey, I know that song. They wrote that? And it's like, yeah, oh, well, no wonder they're such a successful band.
Yeah, they're definitely a band where like even if you don't think you know them, you know them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So one thing that when we were looking into bands for Indie Week, because it can be quite overwhelming, there's tons of bands. Yeah. So Eric is kind enough to send us, you guys know Eric, right? Yeah. Isn't he amazing?
Yeah, we just started working with him, so he's pretty great.
Oh, he's a genius. He's like Frank Zappa to us. So anyways, he sends us like potentials like, who would you like to interview? And then as soon as I saw that you guys had like place a huge importance on environmental issues, I went, yes, because I want to be having these kinds of conversations. Yeah. So can you tell us about how that started? When did you decide to incorporate that into your musical journey?
I think it was just subconsciously in our musical journey from day one. Ever since I was little, like, aside from music, my idol is Steve Irwin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So the Crocodile Hunter in Australia. And he is a huge, huge inspiration to me. And ever since I was little, I wanted to be a conservationist. And you need to be smart to go to school for that. Mm-hmm. And my grades weren't really in it in high school. And I fell in love with music. So it's always been a passion of mine. And I thought if we get somewhere in music, I want to use that platform to speak out about the environment and everything that's going on about it. So now, no one likes someone that, you know, you're doing this wrong and pick up that and you should be turning your lights off. So we try and do it more like, oh, with buying this shirt, you're helping this, and just a bit more subconscious. So like, we're not those annoying environment people that people hate. We're more like, oh, I didn't know I was helping out by doing that. And that's a cool new thing that I'm going to start doing.
Not that we think environmentalists are annoying, just like,
no, you know, but you know what I mean. Like this generation, it's luckily there's not a lot more, my goodness, a lot more environmental people, but it's also easy to turn a blind eye on things and just scroll past it on Facebook, and that's too depressing. I'm gonna just stay in my bubble and not, you know, take note of that. So we're trying to make it less of a big depressing, like you're destroying the world, and more of a just subconscious thing that people don't realize that they're doing to help.
My bad.
Since we're already on the topic, do you have any suggestions for fans or other bands even that would want to start to be a little more environmentally friendly, or how they should go about learning about that?
A big thing for fans, I guess big fans that like going to shows, is just mode of transport. A lot of people, just one person goes for a show or two people, and they take their own cars, and I guess a lot of gas, and it's a lot of money even. So public transport's a huge one for that. And then for bands, what we tried to do is packaging, because you buy a CD and it, if it's in a music store, sometimes they wrap it and then it's already wrapped, and then it's in a in a jewel case and a CD case of its own, and then it's new ink and it's new plastic and it's new paper, and there's a lot of ways to get merchandise almost 100% eco-friendly that's not much more expensive than the regular stuff, and it's not going to look any different. Like, I think our album visually looks like any other album, and it doesn't feel any different, and it's quite easy.
I couldn't believe when I was traveling this summer and I went to the grocery store in London, England, and all of the fruit and vegetables were individually plastic wrapped. And when I, yeah, and when I go to grocery stores, usually I don't even put my fruit and vegetables in the plastic bags. Yeah. And they were kind of tisking me that I didn't put the, yeah. So it's like even little things like that that you consider. And did you ever hear that Father John Misty song where he says something about think about all the oil that it takes to make a records? To make a record,
yeah,
the shipping,
crazy.
The vinyl, the, yeah.
Yeah, there's so much there that people just don't think about, mm-hmm. that could so easily, you know, be put towards something environmentally friendly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You're next.
Oh, it's my turn. If you could book your dream tour, which other bands would you want to hit the road with?
Oh, this
That's
is tough.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, besides Fleetwood Mac and
yeah, well, I would not want to tour with them because he would just school me so hard, and I pretty much cry when I hear him play already because it's like I wish I could be you, but I don't know. I think I'm really into Mumford and Sons, but unlike a lot of their fans, I really liked Wilder Minds. I don't know if you know that album.
Is that the one that came before the really popular one?
It's the one that came. It wasn't very popular because I think people just they changed their sound up kind of. So they just released another album.
Yeah,
it's the one just before that.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Kind of more of like a rocky.
So I think it was the one before that I liked. It came out.
Yeah,
and like,
probably.
Oh shit.
That's usually what happened. Everyone liked up to that point, and then the new stuff came out, and it was more alternative-y. But I like them a lot, so I wouldn't mind touring with them. But that's a big dream of mine. But recent artists. Really like Always.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, I
yeah,
really
they're
like
from the East
Always.
Coast.
Are they? I just assume that all the Indian bands are from Toronto for some reason. I think just because
maybe they all like end up here.
Yeah, day. Probably. There's just like a communal meeting.
Yeah.
We're really into Partner at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, also from the East Coast.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
They're from New Brunswick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and actually I know that because I'm a juror for the East Coast Music Awards, and Partner is up for I think Best Rock Album of the Year.
Cool.
Yeah. Well,
do you want to add any?
Yeah.
I just fell in love with Partner, so they're great. That would be a big one for me.
I love Two Pieces.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. Then you hire other musicians.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but also I didn't know them before I came here, but the Arcowls. I think that's a big one for both of us, actually. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of someone else.
Tegan and Sarah and them, but that's implied.
So when I was researching you guys, I thought it was really cool. You have a couple episodes up on YouTube where fans can sort of follow your journey. And I noticed it was called Road to Somewhere.
Yep.
Where do you hope that Road to Somewhere ends up?
So that was more of our friend's idea. Matt's high school friend is now like, into film and stuff. And he had this idea of doing a documentary on us. And we're like, okay, sure, like it can't be a bad idea. And we just like the idea of just following us along the road. And like different steps we take, like even from that first episode until today, mm-hmm. like watching it, it's like, well, it's a big difference. And like our goals have completely changed, and like everything is a new, like we've made it. Like every week there's a different thing, and I think we want that to just, I don't know if we want it to end. I don't think we just want it to grow with us.
Keep
I
going.
Guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So should we expect more episodes then?
Yes. Definitely.
Awesome. Yeah, they're really fun.
I want to have a YouTube channel where we go on the road and
document every little success along the way.
We consider ourselves proud groupies. Cool. So that's, I mean, that's kind of our thing, right? Is like reclaiming and bringing back the G word, that how like important fandom is and how important that kind of stuff is, but that's kind of been tarnished over the years. But we're happy to call ourselves groupies because they always have the best taste in music.
It's true.
Yeah, no, 100%. And fandom right now is definitely important, especially with Spotify killing all sources of income for bands and the decline of concert goers.
Oh, you mean like fans actually going out and purchasing and like
in general? I mean, just in general, I find that a lot of people just stop caring about music. Like, there's a few people that I know that are real music lovers, and like, it's really admirable because like that's the way it used to be. And I hear stories. I sound like I'm like a new generation like young person, but like I hear stories of how like my parents and my family, like my aunts and uncles, would go to concerts like every week, and like even if they don't know the band, they just walk into a bar and someone's playing somewhere on the street and you just go and listen to them, and that's how you meet a new artist. But nowadays a lot of people I think are a little bit more skeptical, a little bit more, I don't know, I don't want to say elitist, but maybe just a little bit more picky.
Yeah, even here in Toronto there's so many venues that are closing recently, and like even from like my teen years to now, just seeing how many of the places I used to go like to every week are just gone. It's upsetting.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah. I got kind of schooled by a 12-year-old the other day. They were telling me about a really cool show to check out online, and I was like, well, where can I find it? And they're like, well, it's kind of hard to find. I was like, oh, so I'll just stream it? And they were like, no, you can buy it. And I was like, oh, right. And then I was the one being the bad example of like, well, let's just stream the entertainment that we're getting. And it was actually the kid that was like, no, you should probably support them, because also the message that they're like giving out is really important. So I was like, yes.
Maybe okay. It's coming back. That's really cool. Yeah.
There is hope. There is hope out there.
Oh, plant that seed.
Yeah, totally. So can you tell our listeners about your album and where they can check it out?
Of course. So it's a 9-song album, and it's called May 26, but it's in Roman numerals.
What's the significance?
We couldn't think of a name, so that's the release date.
Oh, well.
So yeah. Well, that's yeah, significant. It's when we released it. So it's May XXVI. And you can get it anywhere, really, any platform, I'm pretty sure. iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp, what's it called?
Stream Amazon. It, but, I mean, you guys would really appreciate it if we paid for it.
Yeah. And go out to the shows.
Oh, yeah, the shows is good. You can download it for free, but if you come to our shows, that's enough. Yeah.
And you're playing tonight. Yep. So by the time people listen to this, this show will have been past November 9th, but you're also playing on the 19th?
The 17th.
17th. Yep. Oh, so 9th and 17th.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. And where are you playing on the 17th?
We're playing at the Rivoli with Mono Wales.
Oh, I like that venue. Okay. Well, we will be there.
Oh, thank you.
I can speak for myself, and I will be there that night. So speaking of the Roman numerals and things like that, can you tell us a little bit about the spelling of your band name and what's that about? Because I'm sure you get asked about that often, right?
Yeah.
This is not a new question.
No, I think everybody asks us about it. Well, the first thing is no one can pronounce it, so they're like, what's that? Like,
thick service.
Yeah, pretty much.
10 or 5 is.
So our running joke is just that we both dropped out of school, so we just don't know how to spell. But like, the X and V is 15. That's the year we started the band. So that's the main.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. We try to highlight it with in our actual logo. We change color sometimes, but usually the X and the V is red. So that's how we just kind of try to make it stand out a bit.
And it's cool. Your last name is Forrest.
And her last name is Forrest. So
and
we kind of go off of that.
Environmentally friendly. Yeah. It all works out.
And your hair is green.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming and doing this with us. This was lovely.
Thank you so much for having us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. Sure.
Have a great show tonight, and we'll make sure to post all of that stuff on our social stuff, and then we'll definitely, definitely see you on the 17th.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.